Hello, and welcome to the teaching ministry of Faith Word Fellowship, where faith in the Word leads to a more intimate fellowship with God. We're excited to bring you this teaching of Mark Roberson, pastor of Faith Word Fellowship, where we're building people of vision, people of valor, and people of victory. Now let's join Pastor Mark as he delivers this week's teaching.
So Heavenly Father, we give you praise and thanksgiving for this another opportunity to minister to these, your sheep. Thank you that revelation knowledge will flow freely, unhindered and uninterrupted by any satanic force whatsoever. Less of me, Father, and more of you. None of me, Holy Spirit, and all of you. All of you, Holy Spirit, I believe by faith that you will think through my mind and speak through my lips. And when it's all said and done, we'll give you and only you all the honor, the glory, and the praise. Thank you for hastening your word to perform it. Thank you for confirming your word with signs following. Thank you that you said your word will not return to you void, but it will accomplish that which you please. It will prosper where it has been sent. So I say like the psalmist David, thy word have I hid in my heart that I may not sin against you, that I may not second guess you nor doubt you. No, Lord, I trust you. So I trust you to confirm your word. I trust you to demonstrate your word. I trust you to release the power from your word that you are releasing to us today and causing our lives to never be the same again. In Jesus' name, and all God's people say amen.
Amen.
Come on, open your Bibles with me to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Today's message is what I've been sharing with you, and I shared in the email. And if you have not read the email that I sent out to Faith Word Fellowship International and Faith Word Fellowship Canada, you're doing yourself a disservice. Mm-hmm. Because I'm always looking to empower people. I'm always looking to encourage people. I'm always looking to equip people. And you all know that's why we generate the E3 culture. And so we come to church to be empowered. We come to church to be equipped. And we come to church to be elevated. We don't come to church to be religious. We come because of the E3 culture. We want to be empowered. We want to be equipped. Why? We got to know how to navigate through life. Now, if you're happy, I always say this because I understand that everybody don't receive from my teaching and preaching. And that's fine. I'm not naive. That's why God has so many ministers of the gospel. But those that he send my way, those who he have me speak to, I'm looking to empower them. I'm looking to equip them. And I'm looking to cause them to become elevated. So today's message is from the one word that you've been hearing me say today and through the email. It's the word arise. Mm-hmm. Everyone say arise.
Arise.
What we have to understand today, my brothers and sisters, is the crown jewel of the gospel message is the resurrection of Jesus from the dead, which was prophesied, proclaimed, and performed. The Spirit of God raised Jesus from the dead, and the Spirit of God is, watch this, the agent of the power of God throughout the scriptures. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead is able and available to help you and I in our natural situations and circumstances. Now, here's the thing about it before we continue. When you don't believe that, you act in a manner that's against that. When you don't believe that resurrection power is available, when you don't believe that resurrection power can be activated in your life to turn some things around, to change some things around, watch this. When you speak to people who are experiencing resurrection power, you're not going to know how to flow with them. Because you're going to think how you see life is the basis for life. No, you're missing life. Because life doesn't start until you encounter the resurrection power of Jesus Christ. So the same power, come on, somebody say the same power. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead is able and available to help you and I, watch this, in all our natural situations and circumstances that we encounter on earth. There is not one natural circumstance or situation that you can encounter that cannot be changed by the resurrection power of God. And it's this same power of the Spirit that is available to bring you and I out of every dark place. Listen, that's good news to me. And bring us out of every dark moment that we could ever experience on earth. Yes. Let's look at our scripture text today. You should be there by now. Romans chapter 8. Look at this in verse 11. I'm going to read it from the King James Version. You follow along in whatever translation you have. The King James Bible says of Romans chapter 8, verse 11, but if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth where? In you or in us. So let's read this verse again. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken. Everyone say quicken.
Quicken.
Shall also quicken. Watch this. Your mortal bodies. Watch this. If he will quicken my mortal body, which means my natural body, he will also quicken my natural circumstances. He will also quicken my natural situations. He will also quicken my natural predicaments, problems, pressures, pains, or perplexities, and cause them to be turned around in my favor so I can glorify God in a situation that looked dismal, that looked dark, that looked despondent. And God turned that thing around. Watch this. So that it's no longer defined dark. It's no longer defined despondent. It's no longer defined dismal. Now it's defined delivered. So we're talking about the word arise. And you're going to see that this word arise will connect to the word quicken. What do you mean, Pastor Mark, by the word arise? Arise means, watch this, Kathy, to get up or stand up. Arise. Is it when you arise, watch this, Latrice. You are no longer stuck where you were.
Amen.
You're no longer, watch this, caged in. You're no longer boxed in. Why? Because arise. When you got to understand that. The word arise also means, see how you process this, Rashawn? It also means to emerge. Yeah. Say emerge.
Emerge.
I come today to tell you that God says the winds of change are blowing in your life and there is an emergence taking place. He wants you to emerge, or what's our word? Arise. Arise means to emerge. It means to become apparent. And then it also means this. See how you like this, Chris? It also means to change your status,
yes,
and your position.
Yes. Amen.
To change status. Your status and your position. To change your status and your position. When you arise, you're stepping into more spiritual strength.
Yes.
And you have to understand that God wants you to arise because he has come in this season to expose you so that the world around you will know what God is doing in you. Arise. God wants the world around you to know what he's bringing to you, so that they will testify that God did this. And this is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Say amen, somebody.
Amen.
Now, to change your posture and your status, to change your status, your position, change your posture. What does that mean? Well, it simply means, and this is where we're going to have to deal with today before we continue. It simply means that you're going to have to change your approach to life. Come on, write this down somewhere. I must change my approach to my life, how I approach my life, how I approach things going on in my life, how I approach the situations and the circumstances in my life. If I'm going to change my posture, if I'm going to change my position, if I'm going to change my status, I must first change my approach. I got to change my position of how I have chosen to do life. It's the attitude, my brothers and sisters, that you've adopted and embraced that establishes what you define as your status, your position, and your place in life. You know what we have a tendency to do? We have a tendency, if we're not careful, to always blame someone else why we're where we are in life. Mm-hmm. We are blame somebody else for what we didn't get in life, what we missed out in life. But when you understand this revelation on arise, you know this, that no one else but you determines where you're going to get to go in life, what you're going to get to do in life, and where your destiny will, watch this, change the trajectory of your life. That's why you must, say it, arise. Because of God's resurrection power and your choosing to arise, you must begin seeing yourself, watch this, above the wrong that has taken place in your life. Because of God's resurrection power and your choosing to arise. Come on, everybody, help me get this across and say, I choose to arise.
I choose to arise.
Because of God's resurrection power and your choosing to arise, you must stop defining yourself by what has happened to you in life. It's time to arise. Changing your status and your position in life is all about, Mother Carmen, actively seeking improvement to move forward and to move upward. And watch this, increase my motivation to live. Jesus. Make a note of this scripture. You don't have to turn there for time's sake. Psalms 118, verse 14. I'm going to read it from the New Living. If you're going to arise, you have to know that, watch this, God is for me. God is with me. God will never leave me, and God will never forsake me.
Yes.
So Psalms 118, verse 14, this is from the New Living Translation. It says, the Lord is my strength. Who is?
The Lord.
So, Cheryl and I just celebrated 42 years of marriage. But for my life, Cheryl is not my strength. The Lord is my strength to continue living life with Cheryl. The Lord is my strength, watch this, and my song. And then it says this, I love it. He says, and he has given me victory.
Yes.
How are you living? That's why I expect victory all the time.
Yes.
He has given me, watch what it did not say. It did not say he's going to give you victory if such and such happened. He's going to give you victory if so and so changed. No, he's given me the victory in spite of things, in the midst of things, and regardless of things. Everyone shout, I must arise.
I must arise.
So you have to understand that resurrection power is not just a story in the Bible. It's a supernatural force that can be activated in your life right now. Resurrection power is not just theology. Resurrection power is a reality. The same power that raised Jesus from the grave is resident on the inside of you if you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And now you can be taught and trained to release it and activate it in your behalf. That means that no matter what happens to me in life, I can never be stuck. No matter what happens to me in life, I can never fail. God taught me this years ago, before we even came to Buffalo. He says, Mark, failures are not God made. Failures are man made. He says, son, just because you encounter a challenge, a problem, or a pressure, and it seems like, what did I say?
It seems like.
And it seems like you're not getting ahead. He says, son, don't you quit because you have not failed. Keep believing and trust me. And watch how what looks dismal, what looks dead, what looks like defeat, he said, Mark, before your very eyes, I'm going to turn this thing around and it's going to seem like it happened overnight. Glory to God. Resurrection power is a reality. Let me add a definition to the phrase resurrection power. Resurrection power. Now, y'all got to hear this because you got to process this for your own life. Resurrection power is the quickening ability and power of God, listen, to overcome deadness, to overcome drought, to overcome delays, to overcome deficits, to overcome dormancy, to overcome depression, and to overcome despair. You get that, Mario? I'm going to say it again for you. I'm going to say it again for you, Mario. Because, Mario, you got to get this, Mario, because we got to walk together. You got to get this. You got to get this. See, I don't need you to be at home complaining to Krishan because something didn't work out in your life like you wanted. I can't have you and Krishan getting mad at each other because we got to go somewhere. We got to walk to a new place. So you got to get this, Mario. You got to get this. You got to get this. And if you and Krishan been arguing, then y'all repent after service. But here we go. Watch this, Mario. Watch this, Mario. Stay with me, Mario. We're going to let them listen in. This is me and your conversation. Mario, resurrection power, watch this, is the quickening ability. Now, what does the word quicken mean? To make alive. So the quickening ability of God makes anything that doesn't look alive in your life, it makes it alive. Amen. So, Mario, resurrection power is the quickening ability and power of God to overcome deadness. Anything that may be dead in your life, a dead career, dead momentum, dead progress, dead success. It's the quickening ability and power of God to overcome deadness. Watch this. To overcome drought. What's a drought? When you go through dryness in your life, dry spells, desert places. It causes you to overcome drought. It causes you to overcome delays. Everyone say, God has given me the ability.
God has given me ability.
To overcome delays.
Therefore,
come on, say,
therefore,
every delay
is in my favor.
See, and when you're and when you haven't been taught how to activate resurrection power, you will succumb to delays. You'll get upset about delays. You'll be frustrated. Now, to every person in here, every time you've been frustrated, it's because you chose not to believe God to overcome what caused the root of your frustration. So here's a cop out. And so when you get frustrated, guess what you do? You point the finger and blame somebody else. You're the reason why I'm frustrated. You're the reason why I don't like my life. You're the reason why I'm unhappy. You're the reason why I'm not successful. You're the reason. No. It's nobody else. Because you still have a choice to believe God, and you chose not to. Mm-hmm. Resurrection power is the quickening ability and the power of God to overcome, everyone say deadness.
Deadness.
To overcome drought. Everyone say drought.
Drought.
To overcome, everyone say delays.
Delays.
To overcome deficits. Everyone say deficits.
Deficits.
Deficits, that's when you're missing something or you don't have enough of something. But God's resurrection power causes you to overcome deficits. And then it also causes you to overcome dormancy. Dormancy. Have you ever wanted to do something? Watch this. But it seems like what you wanted to do got buried. Under heaviness, it got buried under pressure. It got buried under the demands you have in your life. It got buried. So now instead of what you want to do being active, it's dormant. Resurrection power causes you to overcome dormancy, to overcome depression, and to overcome despair. That's why I wrote the book. Overcoming discouragement, depression, discouragement, and despair. I got people up here helping me. I wrote the book, but they helping me. But anyway, the reason why, because God says, now, it's amazing that depressed people always try to convince you to be depressed like them. And if they speak to someone who's not depressed, they get mad. Why are you not depressed? I got too much victory to be depressed. I have a revelation. I'm walking in and operating in the resurrection power of God. And they look at you like you're strange. See, most folks who say they believe God, they don't believe God. Most folks that say they believe God is all powerful, they don't believe God is all powerful. They believe that everybody does life like they do it. Everybody approaches life like they do. Everybody goes through life like they're going through. But I come here to tell you today that's not so. Because if you don't have a revelation, you're missing out on what God has for you. Amen. I can't remember, and this is not bragging. This is just a testimony. Because if I'm boasting, my boast is in the Lord. I can't remember the last time I was depressed. I don't have sad days. No, I'm serious. I know y'all looking at me like that brother lying.
He had a catch up. Just talking about you and family. You edited that out.
He almost said something there, y'all. He almost said something. You come back. Y'all trying to take the anointing. Come back, all right. I don't remember. So, watch this. Look at Colossians chapter 2. Y'all supposed to be my amen corner, not my laughing corner. Come on. All right, watch this. Colossians 2. This is why. I want you to see this. Colossians chapter 2. When you get there, say, I'm there. All right. Whoever's not there, just listen. Watch this. Colossians 2, verses 12 and 13. Listen. That from the King James, it says, buried with him in baptism. So everyone say, I've been buried
with Jesus.
Now listen, even though you wasn't there, the Bible says that God the Father looks at it as if Jesus, who was our substitute and took our place when he was buried, God looks at it like you got buried. So that, watch this. Look at Aisha. Watch this, Aisha, wearing that brim. Watch this, Aisha. Check this out. That means that God, Aisha, doesn't want you to live your life buried under anything that could hinder you from enjoying life. Because you are buried with Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Look what it says. Buried with him in baptism, wherein also you are. Oh, I wish I had some Bible readers here. Wherein also you are
risen
with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. Look at verse 13. And you, everyone say he's talking to me now. Being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. So God isn't holding anything against me. He's not holding my faults, my flaws, my foul-ups, my fumbles. He's not holding nothing against me. He says, Mark, you're forgiven. Now go live like that. Mark, you're forgiven. Now pray like that. Mark, stop living in condemnation, guilt, shame, embarrassment, hesitation, reservation. Mark, live free because you're forgiven. And just like I saw you buried with Jesus, Mark, I also see you risen with him. So arise above anything and everything that'll try to hold you back.
Hallelujah.
Flip over to Romans chapter 6 quickly. Romans chapter 6, verses 4 and 5. I'm going to go ahead and read for time's sake. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so, we also should walk in, what does your Bible say?
Newness
of life. Watch this. I'm going to submit to you that walking in newness of life is walking a resurrected life. I just told you that I don't remember the last time I had a depressed day. I don't remember the last time I had a sad day. Why? Because I'm walking in newness of life. Watch this. You have to walk in it because God won't push you in it. You have to walk. Walk requires your willingness. Walk requires your cooperation. Walk requires your agreement with him. Look at verse 5. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his
resurrection.
And that's how you have to live. You as a Christian, you got to stop living like everybody else is living in the world.
Amen.
That's why I don't draw. Watch this. I don't draw my wisdom from Facebook.
Amen.
I don't draw my wisdom from Instagram. I don't draw. Watch this. I don't draw my expectation from Twitter or X. Why? Because I'm walking in newness of life. I'm walking a resurrected life. When you see those posts, you see people in drama. You see people in defeat. You see people in despair. You see people in denial. I am not participating in that. Because I don't need none of that deposited on the inside of me. Listen, my brothers and sisters, on this resurrection 2025, you're going to have to learn how to make an investment in yourself so that you can express yourself more for the glory of God. Say amen.
Amen.
God is moving us from survival mode into kingdom flourishing. This is a divine season of refreshing and resurrection. Come on, write it down.
Yes.
Write it down. This is a divine season of refreshing and resurrection. God is refreshing everything that's stale in your life. And God is resurrecting everything that's dead in your life. Say it with me. This is a divine season,
this is a divine season.
Of refreshing and resurrection. What does that mean? We're, watch this, Mother Carmen, we're shifting from pressing to possessing. We're shifting from surviving to overcoming. We're shifting from wilderness living to the way maker making ways out of no ways that we haven't seen before. So what you have to do today is shake off the grave clothes of weariness. Shake off the grave clothes of unhappiness. Shake off the grave clothes of fear. Shake off the grave clothes of despondency and anxiety. And put on the garments of praise, the garments of boldness, and the garments of resurrection power. When Jesus was crucified, and then he died and was buried. Please listen to this. For them back then, it looked hopeless. It looked like it was all over. That's why when you read the Bible, it says the disciples ran away in fear and they hid in a room. And when you read that Bible, when you read your Bible, it says Jesus showed up in the room, and we call it the Great Commission, where he says, go ye into all the world. He wasn't assigning them, he was rebuking them. He rebuked them for their fear. He rebuked them for them hiding. And he told them to get out of that room and go into the world and live resurrected lives. That's what Mark 16 is all about. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. In my name they shall lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. That was a rebuke. He was getting mad at them because they were not releasing and activating the power. But you got to understand that although everything looked hopeless at that moment, 3 days later, Jesus rose again.
Amen.
But here's the good news. Watch this, Cindy. When he rose, he did not come up empty-handed.
Amen.
He came out, watch this, with total victory.
Yes.
Who was the victory for? You and I.
Yes.
Everyone said the victory was for me.
The victory was for me.
And so it's for this reason alone, regardless of whatever disappointments you may have faced in life, whatever hopelessness you may have experienced in life, for this reason alone, hope still belongs to you in Christ, and you should choose to arise. Let me give you something. Let me give you something, hallelujah, that you can chew on a little later. Let me say it like this. Whatever you don't expect, you will never encounter. Whatever you don't expect, you'll never encounter. So, today, what I have to do is build my expectation for something that God's going to do for me so that I can encounter those moves of God. Whatever I don't expect, what?
You will never encounter.
I will never encounter. So who's the responsibility on?
Me.
Me. So, number one, expect God to cause you and your family to arise. You got to expect it. That means my approach to my family has to be different. What I say about my family has to be different. What I think about my family has to be different. Why? I'm expecting God to cause me and my family to do what?
Arise.
To arise. Number two, expect the peace of God to arise in you like never before.
Amen.
My days of living confused are over. My days of feeling perplexed and bewildered is over. Expect the peace of God to arise in you like never before. Whatever I don't expect, I won't encounter. I got to expect this, right? Number three, expect the joy of God to arise in you like never before. It's time for you to enjoy your life and stop complaining about your life. It's time for you to enjoy the people God has brought to you in life instead of complaining about the people in your life. It's time for you to enjoy the moments God gives you, the movements God gives you in the name of Jesus and the manifestations God gives you. Expect the joy of God to arise in you like never before. You know, sometimes, I'm going to tell off on Pastor Cheryl. Is she here? You know, sometimes in our house, no, literally, I live, now this is not a word, I'm making up a word. I live to outjoy Cheryl in our home.
Praise God.
Thank you, Cindy. This is me and your conversation, Cindy. We'll leave everybody else out. Watch this, Cindy. And so, what I mean by that, Cindy, is that I try to live more in a joyful manner and try to outdo Cheryl in joy.
Amen. Beautiful.
And what that does is, what that does now, I'm not saying I'm perfect. Because I got my crowd over here. They're supposed to be my amen crowd, and they pointing the finger crowd. So, you know. Jesus had them too, because they said about Jesus, crucify him, crucify him. They forgot the miracles he did. They forgot the revelation he shared. They forgot the blessings. They forgot how he fed the multitude.
Lord, have mercy. Go back to the story, Pastor. Come back.
So I make sure, on purpose, that I don't allow myself to get upset in the house. Why? I'm trying to outjoy. Mario, are you with me, Mario? You're supposed to be, because we're walking together. So you got to walk in the same level of joy I'm walking in. Because joy is contagious. Joy is infectious. Amen. You know, I see some people as they get older. Have you looked at some people? You know, you can tell they've been in sin because they just look ugly. Sin is ugly. Now watch this. Not only is sin ugly, being angry and upset is ugly too. And so the older they get, you can see all them wrinkles and stuff on their face. And so folks be seeing me, they say, man, don't you ever age? I say, it's the joy of the Lord.
Right now.
Amen. We got the family coming over today, and so we went to go pick up some food on yesterday. I don't like to order online because the places where you order online don't always get it right. And sometimes it's a trap. They try to cause you to lose your Christianity. So, and then I don't like to go pick up food. Mother, this is me and your conversation. Mother. And they send me in there blind. I don't know anything about the order. They just go pick it up. So then they give me a receipt and I go in there. I showed a lady my receipt. She said, we don't have this order. Now wait a minute. We didn't pay over $200 for that. I'm saying, wait a minute, ma'am. Excuse me, ma'am. Here's the receipt. My wife sent me in here. And so it says 5 Texas brisket. She said, now what is that? I said, ma'am, I don't know. I don't know if it's 5 orders of Texas brisket. I don't know if it's 5 plates. I said, you see number 5. Then it said, it's 1 by the baked beans. I said, I don't know what that is neither.
Wow.
Then they said, well, who's the order for? I said, they told me that my name is on it. They said, well, we don't have your order. I said, ma'am, look here. We done paid over $200. And so, watch this. So then she leaves me to go get the manager. Now I call Cheryl. Cheryl, she's in the car. She sent me in there, but she's in the car. And I let her know, you done sent me in here blind. You done sent me in here, and these folks said this order is not here. You said it was going to be ready this time. I'm in here. And you know I don't like to come in here blind. So then the manager come. He said, sir, we don't have an email. I said, listen, brother. This is a black dude. I said, brother, listen. We done paid over $200. Somebody got to give me my food. He says, I don't know what happened. Maybe it just came an error. I said, it says that it charged our credit card. He said, let me go back. So when he leaves, Cheryl comes in. So before I lost my joy, I went and sat in a chair and left her standing up there to talk to him. The girl comes back, and so I go back up there. I said, did y'all find it? They're still looking. They're still looking. And so it's two managers in the back. They look. And then, keep my cool on. Come on, keep my cool. And then the manager come back and say, no, the girl come back and say, oh, they found it. Somebody's going to find something. It was going to get ugly up in here. And so he came back. Watch this. Then Cheryl called Latrice. Latrice was the one who placed the order. Yes, I said, I'm up in here blind and these folks don't have this order. So then the man came back and he said, I found the order. We're working on it. So me and Cheryl sit down. And then so the girl come over. I didn't know Cheryl was thinking this way. So I said, I ought to get a drink or something out of this since I'm waiting so long. She said, yeah, I'll give you some drinks. She said, I knew Mark Robeson was going to get a drink out of something. She said, I was sitting here thinking what I want to order for my drink. That's why I knew it right away. I'm getting something. So then the man come back and says, sir, we apologize and everything. And then Cheryl says, notice I said Cheryl says. Cheryl says, it's okay, it's all right. That's what Cheryl said. And then he says, before you had to wait, I added 2 more pounds. I said, come on, brother, come on. Just the favor of God. Latrice said, it sure wasn't no favor of God tone. So what I'm telling y'all today, watch out for the traps. That was a trap. That was a trap. That was a trap. That was a trap. So I'm going to leave you with this today. I'm going to leave you with this. 4 points. 4 points. Four ways to position yourself for resurrection power. Cheryl said yesterday, well, what are you going to eat for dinner? I said, I went up and got this brisket. I'm going to make me a brisket sandwich. Yes, I am. Yeah. But we're going to enjoy this meal today. But I didn't lose my joy. Four ways to position yourself for resurrection. Everybody say, I've chosen. That wasn't everybody. Come on, you got to look at your neighbor and say, don't be sitting on him like that. Say, I've chosen.
To arise.
I'm going to approach my life.
From a better position.
From a better place.
From a better perspective.
Expecting more power. All right. Amen. 4 ways to position yourself for resurrection power to arise. Number one. You must know that the quickening power of the Holy Ghost never leaves you. You must know that the quickening power of the Holy Ghost never leaves you. It's not a feeling. It's not a chill, a goosebump, a shiver, or a jerk. It's an empowerment. It's an empowerment, listen, that you wear, like I'm wearing this coat. It comes on me, and God was the one who had everything to do about it. So I wear it. Now, most folks who don't wear it don't know how to conversate with you because they're speaking from the basis of weakness and pains and problems. You're speaking from the basis of power. You wear it. So number one, say it with me. You must know that the quickening power of the Holy Ghost never leaves you. See, your new life in Christ, my brothers and sisters, is a resurrected life that's backed by the resurrection power of God. Number two. You must get in position to receive resurrection power manifestations by stop making provisions for failure. I'm going to say it again. You must get in position to receive resurrection power. Mario, you writing this down? I mean, you need this. How you going to walk with me? You not write this down, brother. All right. You must get in position to receive resurrection power manifestations by stopping to make provisions for failure. You know what I mean by that? Mm-hmm. Where you start acting like, it ain't working for me. It ain't working for me. So you must get in position to receive, say it, resurrection power manifestations by stop making provision for failure. So anytime you think it's not working for you, now you feel justified to act ugly, be ugly, talk ugly, think ugly. No. I'm not going to make provision for failure. I ain't failing at this. God said failures are not God-made. Failures are man-made. A man or a woman fails when they choose to quit on something. I'm not a failure. I'm an overcomer. Number three, you must stand your ground for resurrection power to quicken dead things in your life. You must stand your ground for resurrection power to quicken dead things in your life. Dead relationships, dead marriage, dead family, dead finances, dead career, dead promotions, dead progress. You must stand your ground for, come on, resurrection power to quicken dead things in your life. Now, how do you do that? By developing a resurrection mentality. That's how you do it. By developing a resurrection mentality. You got it? And then the last one. Number four. Glory to God. You ready for this? Yes. Now, when I say it, I'm going to preface it by saying this. You've allowed number four to happen in your life more times than you think. And because you've allowed number four to happen in your life, you've lost out on some things in life God never wanted you to lose. So now from this moment forward, you got to make up in your mind, I ain't going back that way. I ain't losing no more. I'm not losing no more precious moments in my life. I'm not losing no more precious essence of my life. I'm not going to lose the strength to live by giving in to the trap of number four. You ready for number four? Amen. Listen to it before you write it. Listen to it, Pastor Sher, before you write it. You must not let the devil steal what you have a right to. Let that hit you. You must not let the devil steal what you have a right to. I have a right to a happy home. I have a right to a happy marriage. I have a right to a happy family relationship. I have a right to a successful career. I have a right to a healthy body. I have a right to a prosperous life. You must not let the devil steal what you have a right to. And he will try to steal it through deception, discouragement, depression, and by you giving in to difficulties.
Wow.
So number four, you must not let the devil steal what you have a right to. And he will try to steal it through what? Deception, discouragement, depression, and by you giving in to difficulties. He wants you to be upset about your life and live that way. You the one who got to say, I'm resurrected with Jesus. I ain't going out like this. See, that's what a victorious Christian look like. Instead of somebody who just goes to church and they're religious and living defeated, living a whipped life. And then watch this. Then they come to church pretending. You ask them, how you doing? Blessed of the Lord. Tell them, blessed of the Lord. And highly favored. Well, why you don't act like that at home? Why you don't act like that at home? You just don't know what I got to put up with. No, you just don't know who you are in Christ.
Amen. Well, how about that?
And so I don't teach you to be religious. I teach you to live victoriously. I teach you how to be overcomers. I teach you to understand how not to just be hit by what life dishes out, but you got to know how to hit back through your faith and through walking in God's power. Amen.
Amen.
Glory to God. So, as we prepare today, I want to release a prayer. I'm going to have you to stand, and what we're going to do is, I'm going to make it easy. So, like, on my right side, you're going to walk against the wall, come this way. As you walk this way, I'm going to anoint you with oil. The purpose of anointing you with oil is to release resurrection power upon you. Now, here's where you got to cooperate. What did I say in the message? I said this, that what you don't expect, you will never get to encounter.
Jesus.
So your expectation, listen, has to meet my application. When you feel me put my hand on you and anoint your head with the oil, that's my application. But now once you feel it, you got to be in expectation. Now why am I applying it? Because God told me. So I'm acting on a prompting and a word from God. And now you're responding to my instructions to walk and allow me to anoint you. Our application plus expectation will equal demonstration.
Amen.
Not many days hence. And it's based on how, when you leave here, how you guard your mind, guard your mouth, and guard your mannerism will determine how fast something happens for you. So you can't come to me 7 days later and say, it didn't work for me. You just told me that you never expected it to. You can't leave here and then get in an argument, get in a strife, get in a disagreement and discord. That means you never expected God to resurrect something.
My Lord.
You didn't choose to change your status nor your position for your life. So watch this. When you choose not to change, the same thing that's been happening follows you day after day after day. But when your expectation meets an application, you get a demonstration, listen, that you can't explain. And God, right now, is moving for his people to wow them.
Amen.
He says, I want to do something for you to where you're going to say, oh, wow. I never thought. Now, yesterday, I didn't expect that brother to recover like that. That really was a wow. It'd have been nice, he said, I put a couple of strips of brisket to your order. That brother said, no, I added 2 pounds. I said, come on, brother. That sounds like God to me. Or like a week ago when Shirley and I celebrated our anniversary, and I go to the store, I'm buying some flowers, and I'm waiting on the self checkout machine. The guy is full, and so this white brother, he leaves. He's the first one to leave, so I go there, but the machine is going off because he left all his change in there, because I'm paying cash, he paid cash, he left his change. So I call him over, the clerk call him over, watch this, Aisha. And so he comes back and thanks me for letting him know he left all his money. He gets all his change and leaves. I scan the flowers, pull out my wallet, I'm getting ready to pay. He comes back and slam all his change and the money that he just got on the counter and says, "This is for you." That brother don't know me from Adam. I said, no, man, you ain't got to do this. He says, "Oh, I got to do this. This is for you." I said, "That's the favor of God." He wowed me. That might not mean nothing to you, but it means a lot to me. Because when I recognize the small things God is doing, he's positioning me, come on somebody, you see where I'm going, for greater things. So when a small thing happens, I acknowledge this is the favor of God, so that he'll give me a moment where I can acknowledge this greater thing. Oh, this is God's doing. Somebody shout hallelujah.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Me too.
Hallelujah. So, stand on your feet with me. I'm going to declare this. Lift your hands. If you receive today's message, glory to God, just lift your hands. I'm going to pray this prayer. After I pray this prayer, I'm going to have those on my right. Krishan will be my usher over here and help guide all of them out. Glory to God, because I want us to flow. And then Rashawn will be my usher over here to help guide all my left. We're going to come out against the wall and then go this way. All right? Glory to God. In the name of Jesus, may the same power of resurrection that raised Jesus Christ from the dead, may it quicken every dead area of your life and breathe new life into you and your family in the mighty name of Jesus. I call for the power of resurrection that raised Jesus from the dead to fall fresh upon you now in the name of Jesus. I decree and declare for evil stones to be rolled away from your life and from your family in the mighty name of Jesus. I call for the power of resurrection to visit the foundation of your life to cause you to never be the same again. In the name of Jesus, somebody just say by faith, I receive, I receive. Thy voice of resurrection, speak life into every dead area of these people's lives in the name of Jesus. And I declare, because Jesus is risen, arise out of sickness into divine health in the name of Jesus. Because Jesus is risen, arise out of poverty into prosperity in the name of Jesus. Because Jesus is risen, arise out of darkness into light in Jesus' name. Because Jesus is risen, arise. And I decree and declare, power of the grave, you have no power or dominion over God's people in the name of Jesus. And now, Lord, let the resurrection power of the Lord Jesus Christ come upon the works of the hands of these people, that whatever they touch or do, without them even realizing it, they will release resurrection authority and power in their behalf.
Thank you, Lord.
In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Now just thank the Lord for it. Let them know that you receive that. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord, for doing something new in my life.
Come on, say, Lord, I thank you for doing something new in my life. Now say, Lord, I thank you for turning things around in my favor. Lord, I thank you for resurrecting dead areas, dead relationships, dead feelings, dead motivation, dead inspiration. I thank you for resurrecting the deadness in my life in Jesus' name. Now put those hands together, give them praise. Those of you on a faith call, as I prayed that prayer earlier, I release it in your behalf in Jesus' name for your life to never be the same again.
Amen.
So as I always say, stay in courage, stay in faith. Let's make it our business to stay connected.
Amen.
Father, as we leave here, but never from your presence. Father, as each one of these people walk through those doors, since you're the one who orders our steps,
yes, Father.
I say that they're walking new paths. That you're going to direct them to meet and encounter divine connections, divine appointments that will advance them and activate what's in them for them to go further than they've ever gone before. And whatever has been wrong, I see like God untying knots in your lives.
Hallelujah.
Untying knots.
Knotted
relationships, knotted momentum, knotted. Are you following me? And so he's unraveling some things. And as you do that, Father, we will give you and only you honor, all the honor.
We truly hope you enjoyed this teaching by Pastor Mark Roberson of Faith Word Fellowship. Please visit us at one of our two locations. If you're in Buffalo, New York, or surrounding areas, please visit us at Faith Word Fellowship International. And if you're in the St. Catharines, Ontario, or surrounding areas, please visit us at Faith Word Fellowship Canada. To learn more about Faith Word Fellowship or to contact Pastor Mark, or to even access other teachings by Pastor Mark, please visit us at www.faithwordfellowship.org. And always remember, one word from God and you will never be the same again.